Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
We kick off the show this week, and we welcome in Kalina Mosqueda-Lewis from Mater Dei High School. You all remember her now, and she's gone on to the University of Connecticut, and now she is a professional basketball player in the WNBA up in the city of Seattle. Kalina, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we want to go down and talk about your whole career, and now you're a professional basketball player. I'm sure that's been a dream of yours for some time. When in your life did you first kind of maybe think about the possibility of being able to play basketball for a living?
I think the first time I actually thought about it was probably sixth grade. You know, before then, I wasn't very good. I couldn't dribble, couldn't shoot. It wasn't until sixth grade where I started to actually kind of be able to get control of my coordination.
Wait a minute. For those of us that have seen you play basketball, it's hard to believe you ever weren't good at basketball.
Oh, it was possible, trust me.
As your career kind of got started and maybe you kind of you got the hang of it playing this game, you know, what was it that led you to eventually to go play for Coach Kiernan at Mater Dei?
My mom went to Mater Dei, so that was basically the main reason I decided to go there. So it really didn't have anything to do with basketball or Coach Kiernan. My mom went there, so I wanted to go there and kind of carry on her legacy at that high school. And I just got lucky that Coach Cannon, his first year was my freshman year that I got there.
Obviously, you could have gone to a lot of different places in Orange County. We know Brea, Linda, Troy have great programs in Orange County. Were there any other places you thought about, or was it just Mater Dei because you wanted to be like Mom?
Basically, it was just Mater Dei. You know, my mom had put me into a private school, 6th through 8th grade. And basically, all the kids that went to that school either went to Rosary, Mater Dei, Servi, or Orange Lutheran. And my mom went to Mater Dei. So, you know, yeah, that was pretty much the reason why I went there. And that was the only place I could see myself going.
Did you know right away you wanted to play basketball? Was that something that you were actively seeking out as soon as you got on campus as a freshman?
Yeah, definitely. I knew as soon as I got there that basketball was going to be something that I wanted to be a part of. I had gone to some Mater Dei games prior to going there, and I wanted to be a part of that.
It's obviously such a great program. You know, the entire athletic program at Mater Dei is really something, and you obviously have your place in the history of Mater Dei. Now that you have a chance to kind of look back on your career as a Monarch, you know, how proud are you of what you accomplished there in those 4 years?
I'm really proud of what I accomplished. You know, I think Mater Dei, you know, had great athletic programs prior. And, you know, the basketball team was good, but I don't think it really got to its full potential until Coach Cannon got there and really changed everything, turned the program into one that is well-known across the country. And I would say he definitely played a big part in getting me ready for college, especially mentally. You know, he was really hard on me every single day and expected a lot out of me, as he should have.
Kalina Mosqueda-Lewis joining us on the show this week. What is it about Coach Kiernan? What is it he does specifically? You know, the times I've interviewed him, he's kind of a quiet guy, but is he not that way? Is it a whole different persona when he's on the court?
Yeah, it's a whole different persona when he's on the court. You know, he wants his teams to be great. And so he emphasizes doing the little things right. He emphasizes, you know, all of his best players being able to take criticism and change what they're doing for the better of the team. And so that's something that I always appreciated with him, is he didn't care if you played 0 minutes or if you played 40 minutes, you were going to get yelled at the same and treated the same no matter what.
As you went on in your career, you know, you became a leader, you know, you became the best player on the court, but you had great teammates around you as well. And we know it takes a team effort to win the championships. You know, how important was it to have that great supporting cast around you as well?
Yeah, it was really important to have people around me that were also great players. You know, majority of us went on to play Division I basketball somewhere, and you don't get that everywhere. Rarely ever. You know, a team where almost, I think we had like 7 people that went on to play Division I basketball while I was there at Mater Dei. So it's hard to stop that. if you're an opposing team, because we just had so many weapons and so many people could do different things. You had to choose what you were willing to give up.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, we know the boys program, everything they've accomplished at Mater Dei. And another source of pride, I would think, to know that, you know, you really put the girls program, you know, on the map there. And the girls program became every bit as good as what the boys were doing at that very same time.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in that. You know, I feel, you know, a little bit of, you know, ownership still when people talk about Mater Dei and talk about the girls basketball program. And it was important to me to kind of be able to put us at the same level as the boys on that campus, just because everybody knows about, you know, when I first got there, everyone knew about Mater Dei boys basketball and, you know, the players that have come out of there. And I wanted us to be treated the same way. I wanted us to be talked about with the same respect as men. So it was nice to be able to kind of finally get us to that point.
You've accomplished so much in your basketball career. You know, when I talk to players, you know, many times it's the high school memories that really stand out so much to them. Obviously, 2011, the epic game with Bray Olinda, you know, which you guys, you know, would go on to win. And are those some of the memories that really stand out among so many great memories?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun in high school. You know, there are still people that I played with in high school, and I not necessarily were starting with me, but they were on my team, and I still talk to them. They still come to my games, and yeah, you build relationships in high school. You're spending so much time together, whether, you know, you're going to tournaments or just at practice after school and class together. But yeah, I built a lot of memories with people in high school, and, you know, those are kind of the foundation of where everything started.
Mater Dei legend Kalina Mosqueda Lewis joining us this week. You of course had the chance, I would say pretty early in your career, the colleges I'm sure were starting to get in contact and wanting to for you to come to their school. Obviously, to pick UConn is a dream come true, I think, for any player. Was it a pretty easy decision when it came down to it that you were going to go play for Gino Auriemma at UConn?
Yeah, it was pretty much a clear-cut decision that I was going to go there. I didn't take any official visits to any other schools. I decided I was going to go there in the beginning of my junior year. So, yeah, there was no wavering, no second-guessing. Once I made that decision that that's where I wanted to be, I stuck to it.
You know, obviously having played for one of the great high school coaches, now you get to play for, boy, who you could argue is the greatest college coach of all time. So was it an easy transition to be able to go from a high-level program like Mater Dei to another high-level program like Connecticut?
Not at all. It's a whole different ball game when you get to college in general, but especially when you get to Connecticut. You're pushed to heights that you never thought were possible. You know, go through things that you didn't think that you would ever have to, and times you feel like you can't do it or you want to give up, but you don't. And, you know, it was one of the toughest things ever, but the most rewarding, obviously, playing for Coach Auriemma at Connecticut. It was definitely took a long time for me to actually get accustomed to the way you had to play every day, the way your attitude needed to be every day. It's hard. It's different, especially, you know, you get to UConn and you're used to being the best player. You're used to being the one. And you get to UConn and you're one of many people who have been in that same position, who have done the same thing wherever they're from. And you really become a complete player at Connecticut, I feel like. And I think that was one of the best things that came out of me going there.
Right. Obviously, you know, your accolades, you know, State Player of the Year, but you get to Connecticut, everybody's the State Player of the Year somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
the level of talent there is ridiculous. You happy with the way everything turned out at Connecticut and what you were able to accomplish there in your career with the Huskies?
Yes, I'm definitely happy. You know, I would have loved to win my freshman year, but, you know, three's good still.
Right. Anything short of a championship, though, there is obviously a disappointment. The level of expectation is so high at Connecticut. Do you feel like it's a letdown when you don't come away with the banner? You know, just like this year, where, you know, they came up short this year as well.
It was definitely a letdown for us because of all the work we put in, and because, you know, you expect so much from yourself. That's what they instill in you when you go there. is that you want to be the best, and the best is winning a national championship at the collegiate level. And if you don't meet that goal, yeah, it's a letdown, but it's also fuel to the fire for the next year.
Right.
And, you know, luckily for me, after losing one time, we didn't lose anymore after that.
What's it like to be on campus and know that, you know, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, I mean, these are some of the greatest, you know, basketball players of all time, you know, once wore that uniform and you got a chance to wear that as well. I would think that's kind of an awe-inspiring experience.
Yeah, it's definitely awe-inspiring. And I think it's even more special now that I'm playing with a UConn legend, a WNBA legend, and Sue Bird. You know, she's arguably the best point guard to play women's basketball, and I get to play right next to her. I never thought that was going to, you know, happen even when I got to Connecticut. You know, we were in awe of her when she just came back a couple times to work out with us and would practice with us for a little bit. And now she's my teammate and, you know, someone I can consider a friend. And that's just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. A quick break here on Catholic Sports Team. When we come back, we're visiting with Kalena Mosqueda-Lewis, modern-day legend, and we'll have more in just a moment. Stay with us right here on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Win a trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com.
Thanks again for joining us here this week on Catholic Sports View. And we have the pleasure of visiting with Kalena Mosqueda-Lewis, one of the legends of modern-day basketball. Of course, she went over to University of Connecticut after her high school days and currently is one of the standouts for the Seattle Storm of the WNBA. Where we left off, we were talking about your days at Connecticut. At what point did you know now at Connecticut that, hey, you know what, a professional basketball career was a real possibility?
I think I thought about it after my freshman year, you know. It's kind of just the path that almost everyone at Connecticut wants to go on, and if you have the opportunity, you do everything you can to get yourself there, and the coaches do everything they can to help you get there, too. So pretty much after my freshman year, you know, getting through that transition from high school to college, you know, being so far away from home, yeah, that was pretty much when I was like, okay, I think I can do this for my job.
Right. You were the 2015 first-round pick, third overall by the Seattle Storm. I would think you had to be thrilled to be able to say, hey, I'm coming back to the West Coast now, right?
Yeah, definitely. I was happy to be a little closer to my family, and it had been 4 years, you know, that I did see them a ton and had been on my own. So now to finally be on the West Coast and be closer to not only my immediate family, but, you know, cousins, aunts, uncles who could make it to games.
Yeah, it's so important to have family around, right? Yeah, I'm sure there's that transition in college where you get a little homesick, and Connecticut is a whole different world from Southern California.
Yeah, it definitely is, especially in stores. It's just one road in, one road out. It takes about 25 minutes to get from campus to the main highway. It's definitely not what I was used to in California.
You hear about these, you know, schools where, you know, a certain sport is really the king of the school. And the women's basketball program certainly is. And the men's program has done well in Connecticut, too, kind of like modern day. But that women's program, with everything they've accomplished, I mean, it's got to be almost like you guys are rock stars around campus there.
Yeah, you know, it was nice. Like I said about modern day, the girls weren't quite there yet when I got there. But we got close, and then at UConn, yeah, the men were good, but the women, they ruled the school.
You mentioned the coaches at Connecticut. Are the coaches, you know, Coach Kiernan, some of the coaches maybe back here at home, or were they also people you could lean on to talk to as well and get a little advice as you kept going forward in your career?
Honestly, I didn't really talk to many people when I went to school in Connecticut. It's not the same. Yeah, you can talk to people and hear what they have to say, but it's completely different when you're in it. when you're with the coaches every day. And I don't know if you've ever seen Remember the Titans, but when they go on that little retreat and Denzel Washington tells them, I'm your daddy now, that's basically how it is. You're there with them, that's who you're with, and that's your life now.
Right.
You know, those are the people that are you're investing in your dream with.
It's so true. Kalina Mosqueda-Lewis joining us this week on the program. So now you're a member of the Seattle Storm, and you go in, and again, you're the new kid on the block, right? But what's that like to go into a professional atmosphere now? You know, it's not just at school now. Now you're actually getting paid. It's a career now, you know, to be able to play basketball. What was that transition like?
It was tough. You know, I think it's at every new level, it's kind of something you have to bring something a little different. And it's not going to be something that you're completely used to. It's going to take some time to adjust. And you can see it with every rookie that they need a little time to get their bearings and figure out how they can be most effective in the league. People are stronger, faster, smarter in this league. So you've just got to, like I said, adjust.
It's so true, right? It's all about making adjustments into a new atmosphere. You mentioned getting to play with somebody like Sue Bird, you know, another legend from UConn. You know, how much easier is it to have somebody like that who can kind of show you the ropes a little bit?
It's amazing. You know, Sue's the best that I could have ever asked for. She's so willing to help us out, the younger guys, and tell us all the knowledge that she's learned over these past 16 years she's been in the league. And she's never too busy to answer questions. She's never too busy to just hang out and talk to us. And that's something I really appreciate about her, is that she doesn't separate herself just because she's the oldest or just because she's Sue Bird. You know, she's completely down to earth and willing to do whatever she can to help us reach our potential.
It might be a little bit different in Seattle, because in most of the WNBA cities, you know, the WNBA team, you know, has an NBA team that goes along with it in those cities. Seattle, a little different that, you know, obviously the Supersonics left and it went to Oklahoma City, you know, several seasons ago. And you guys are kind of the only game in town up there. So I have to imagine that, you know, being the only basketball team up there, that's got to make you guys even just that much more special to the fans up there.
Yeah, definitely. Being the only professional basketball team, it does make us a little special out here. We're the only ones that play in Key Arena. The fan base is amazing. But yeah, we do have a lot of professional sports, but as far as professional basketball goes, we're it. So, you know, the fans are stuck with us.
Well, I don't know if they're stuck with you. They certainly seem to be rabid fans up there. I know there's big soccer fans. Obviously, the Seahawks and the Mariners do well up there as well. So Seattle seems to be a great sports town.
It really is. You know, we're constantly going to Seattle rain games, to Sounders games, to Mariners games, and you know, when it gets closer to preseason, we'll go to some preseason Seahawks games. So we're all about staying involved with the other sports and watching them and supporting each other.
Are you settled in now? I mean, are you are you past maybe the kind of wide-eyed, odd sort of transition that it takes maybe to call yourself now a professional athlete? Are you pretty much set in there and comfortable with this life now?
Yeah, definitely. I think 3 years was good enough for me to get settled in, and now I've kind of got the hang of things, and yeah, I feel like a real professional now.
Yeah. You know, obviously there's been talk over the years, about the viability of the WNBA, but you know, this league hangs in there. This league remains popular with the fan base, and people really like women's basketball. I enjoy covering it as a reporter. I think it's a great game. Do you get the feedback from the fans out there that how much they enjoy coming out and watching women's basketball?
Definitely. I think especially coming from the University of Connecticut, where we had such a huge fan base, and hearing how much they love watching us play, how excited they are for us to move on to the next level and continue to follow us. Yeah, so it's nice hearing that from the fans, whether it be, you know, after games or, you know, sometimes seeing people on the street or at a fan event. So it's nice.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is, because, like we said, you guys are the only basketball game in town up there. And, you know, we talk about the fan bases, around even Los Angeles. You know, we see it here. You know, the people are big Sparks fans. I mean, there's that big fan base that really follows the team. You've gotten a chance to play, I think, all over the world probably, right? How has it been being kind of a world traveler and being able to play as well?
It's been nice. You know, I think I did most of my multiple country traveling with USA Basketball right. in my younger years. But the past two seasons, I've played in France, and it's been amazing. I've been able to play in France, play in Sweden. I've played in the Czech Republic. So in Slovakia, it's been nice to be able to play in those different countries and experience different cultures. And even if I'm not playing there, I was able to just have some time to visit Europe, you know, because plane tickets are so cheap and countries are so close. You have opportunities to do that.
How do the European fans, you know, react to the American players when you guys come over there and play?
They love Americans, so it's really nice. I, you know, wanted to make sure I did my fair share of kind of being open to their culture and learning about the French culture and learning some French and becoming a part of the community. That was really important to me when I went and played over there.
We're visiting with Kalena Mosqueda-Lewis, a modern-day legend, of course, a Connecticut Husky legend, and now a member of the Seattle Storm of the WNBA. And in our last closing minutes here with you, Kalena, I you know, just kind of want to get your idea of how you feel like your legacy kind of is. I know it's not nowhere near done, and you've got a career ahead of you still in the WNBA, but as you kind of look back on what you did here in Orange County, in Southern California, in Connecticut, you know, are you happy with the way everything has kind of, you know, transpired over your career?
Yeah, I'm definitely happy with the way things were, you know, in high school and in college, and I'm still working on the professional part. I'm nowhere near done
right.
Working and finished, but yeah, so far I'm happy with my legacy and what I've, if I were to stop today, what I've left behind.
Someday you'll be the veteran of the WNBA, and then the next Kalena Mosqueda-Lewis will be coming into the league. What advice do you have for the young girls who are just starting out and kind of want to follow in your footsteps?
I think the most important thing for me is that not everything's going to be easy. You know, some days are going to be hard, some things aren't going to work out for you, but continue to work hard, continue to stay true to yourself, and I believe everything will work out.
Yeah, and it certainly worked out for you, Kalena. We want to thank you for joining us here this week on Catholic Sports. We want to wish you good luck the rest of this season and going forward. And I know everybody here still follows your career, and we'll be following it as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Kalena Mosqueda-Lewis, of course, modern-day legend, UConn legend, and now a member of the WNBA's Seattle Storm. Much more right here on Catholic Sports when we come back. Stay with us right here on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Coming soon, Christ Fest 2017, Saturday, September 9th at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, honoring Sir Bruno Serrano of the Anaheim White House and Feeding OC Kids, featuring performances by Mac Powell of Third Day, Shane and Shane. Rush of Fools. You're still shining. And many more. It's all happening on Saturday, September 9th at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove. Presented by St. Joseph Health and Farmers and Merchants Bank. Catch all the details at ChristFestOC.com. That's ChristFestOC.com. We'll see you on September 9th at Christ Fest 2017. Chef Bruno, what say you?
Please come. You come to see me on that event is like you help me to feed in a child.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. My name is Bob Gibson, and thanks again for joining us here this week. Well, we continue our tour of the football camps in the Trinity League, and this week we stop off at Santa Margarita High School, and we talk with their head coach, Rich Fisher, second year on the job, and he's expecting big things in year two out of his Eagles.
You know, year two at the helm here at Santa Margarita. Anything you're doing different this year?
Well, I think every year you kind of evaluate your program and see what worked in year one, and obviously every year or every day, I should say, was a learning experience for us last year just in terms of you know, who our kids were and what they could do and what we could do offensively and defensively. And then, you know, kids getting acclimated to our culture and our expectations of what we want out of them. And so I think year two is obviously where we should make the biggest jump, I think, in our football team relative to just, like I said, establishing our culture and kids' understanding and the expectations of how to practice and accountability and, you know, the attitude and effort piece. And you know, I think that you have a little bit of attrition in your program and in addition to your program, especially probably more so here in the Trinity League than any place else, you know. But we've really tried to focus on our lower levels and building them up. And we've got 53 kids, I think, in our freshman class, which is up by 20-some kids from last year. And then, you know, we've had not quite as many transfers as last year, but that's by design.
Yeah, we talked the last time we talked, you know, we talked about your extensive college, you know, experience. Do you find it's different in high school that you're having to tailor things maybe a little differently than you did in the college game?
Yeah, because you don't have the same amount of time. And then obviously, you know, tailoring your offense and defensive scheme to what the kids can do. You know, you come in here with, I think, a broad scope of what you would like to do, and then you figure out what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, that's part of our evaluation in the off season was what did we do well and what didn't we do well and what did we waste time on and what do we need to do better. And just really evaluating all aspects of the program from, you know, from coaching to the weight room to scheme. But it's definitely different, you know, and I like it. I like the level of competition here, and I really like our kids in our program. And I think that, you know, just like I said, year two, watching these guys on tape and the expectations, and there's a little bit better juice in the program of, you know, kids knowing where and when and why and what they're doing.
Yeah, a core group of returners, you know, coming back, you know, that good senior group, but very young team, you know, overall across the board. Is it more, you know, kind of a learning under fire type of a situation?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's an interesting group. We've got a pretty good core of kids that played a lot of football for us last year, but yet we're counting on some kids at some key spots that, you know, haven't strapped it up on the varsity level yet. They've shown flashes through off season and spring and summer, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens when we get the pads on. And, you know, everybody goes through the same thing every year. You lose kids, you know, and kids develop and come up. John McCartan's a perfect example. I mean, a year ago we sat here, a little over a year ago, when we first got here, and he's a 6 foot, 200-pound. We didn't really know what he was playing. And now he's a 6'5", 230-pound tight end that's committed to, you know, Fresno State. So you got a guy like Jake Peters who, you know, unfortunately was hurt last year, but he's back. And, you know, the quarterback position is going to be an interesting battle here throughout camp to see who really elevates their play and rises to the occasion there. But we're excited about the nucleus of our team. I think we've got some real good leadership and some guys that have played enough football that hopefully we can make some noise this year.
Is it a situation where, as a coaching staff, you have to identify the positions that maybe aren't as strong? You give a little more time, a little more, you know, space into those things to build those up than you do maybe the ones you think are a little stronger?
Well, I don't know. I mean, yes and no. I should say it's not like you're taking away from the olders, but I think that the older kids that you know the drills and know the practice and know the tempo, and it's easier for those kids to lead the charge. And then you can, like I said, you can focus, because there is a core group of young kids that you do need to, you know, to press along and get ready to play. And so you definitely want to give the attention that they deserve, but you definitely don't want to take away from that older group. There's still a lot we can improve on.
Right. You know, you may or may not know what the regime before you, you know, the kind of off-season camp they ran, the kind of things that they did. Can you see it in the kids, though? Can you see that the kids are really, you know, grasping on to what you're asking them to do?
Yeah, I think it's always a telltale sign when, you know, you try to model your behavior, what you're trying to get out of your kids. And you definitely see the energy from the kids, the accountability and showing up on time and the attendance, and all those things have changed. And those were things that when we first came in here, you know, it's a new regime. It's a new coach. It's new expectations. It's new rules. It's all that stuff. So there's definitely, and I didn't spend much time on what was going on before as much as focus on what we wanted to do here once we, you know, took this program over. So I'm super pleased with the way these kids work and their knowledge of what we're doing and the jump that they've made so far in year two. So, you know, we just, like I said, we got to get some of these younger kids up to speed, and some guys are going to have to step up and help this football team.
Eagles head coach Rich Fisher joining us this week in Catholic Sports View. Is it real now? I mean, it's, you know, we're out here, we're on the field. Does it feel like football season?
Yeah, it feels like football season. I mean, I've been for the last probably week. I gave the kids off last week, and you're sitting there watching TV, and it's all reruns of last year. And, you know, I went over and saw the Rams practice on Saturday, and that's when it kind of hit me, like, man, it's football season. So it never gets old, and it was exciting to get out on the field and get our first practice in, and the energy was good. I think our kids are excited, and that's always a great sign, you know, when your kids are excited and ready to go, and it's always that way. But like I told them after practice, let's see where our energy level is come practice 7, 8, 9, you know what I mean, when it's hot and you're tired and you don't feel good. And that's where the cream's going to rise to the top.
Yeah, I can see the kids out there running the gassers at the end, really, really digging down. I mean, giving their all.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, we had a test today, and the test came after practice, and I designed it that way, and they passed the test, and which is always a great sign to know that those kids are taking care of business away from the building here. And so that was, I think, a sign of good leadership and a sign of what our team can be.
You know, it's an old cliche, you know, turn the page from last season, but are there some lessons you can carry with you from last season, or do you just completely want to wash that away and focus on, you know, 2017?
No, we've already addressed. I think that it's important to look at the past and learn from it. I think that, and I've talked to the team about this, if you look at our first game against Mission Viejo, we weren't as organized and crisp and obviously as thorough and play the kind of football that we did when we played Sarah in the playoffs, you know, two totally different football teams, and the growth that we made throughout the season, the kids see. And it's important to focus on that, address that, understand why those things happen and why you play the way you played at the beginning of the year, and, you know, just continue to climb and get better. And that's kind of our mantra around here is you know, we flush and film on Saturday, we move on to the next, but it's about, you know, the process and improving each and every day and your craft and the preparation and all those things. So we've looked at last year as a staff to address, you know, schematically what we want to do. We've looked at it to see if there's anything we want to change. We've talked to the kids about why we were able to do the things, because arguably at the end of the season, you know, against Old Lou, we played great football, and Servite played great football, and Sarah, obviously, and you know, anytime you line up against Modern Day and Bosco, you're going to get really, really good football teams, and you're going to have to play your best. And we just can control what we can control, and that's coming out here and practicing and getting ready for our opener against Downey.
Yeah. Is that part of the message, too, to stress to the kids, you know, hey, we're going to be better tomorrow than we were today, and better the next day than we were, you know, that next day, and on and on and on?
I think that the key for us is if we're not an up-and-down team, you know, you don't want to have one good practice and then a bad practice. And if we just keep improving each and every day and have good leadership, then that will carry itself over through into the season, and that's what we want. And so, yeah, to answer your question, we want to continue to climb and, you know, just get every guy just get that much better each and every day. And I think if each guy does that as a whole, as a team, we'll take tremendous strides. And just the consistency factor in what we're doing, I think that's the key. We want to be consistent. I think year two, and I talked to the team about this today before we took the field, is, you know, we're past the what stage. You know, what do I do? We need to get into the hows and the whys. And if we start really focusing on that and we can get the young kids to understand, you know, not what do I do on this play, but how and why I'm doing it, then we can really elevate our play as a team.
You know, this being your second year, A, is there more of a comfort level for you? And B, is it at that point you mentioned, you know, the message is clear. The kids know the voice. You know, they know where it's coming from. That message is consistent to them day in and day out.
Yeah, I number one, you know, before we even played a game last year and you're in practice, you don't have anything to compare it to. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the others really have. You don't know how you're going to stack up. you just know your players. So having gone through a season now and lining up against other teams and seeing what they do offensively and defensively and seeing the different size of teams and the level of play of different teams, it definitely helps you. It helps you from a game planning standpoint. It helps you from preparation. And then it gives you a little bit different confidence level, I think, heading into the season. I think you're more confident in terms of how we're practicing, what we're doing, who we're playing, those types of things. But it's definitely a year under our belt has helped us tremendously.
Trinity League, obviously down the road. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But your non-league schedule, you know, what do you hope to do with that group of games? Obviously win football games, but right. What else are you looking to do there that will help you as you get to, you know, what we've talked about before is we can argue is the hardest league in the entire nation.
Right. You know, the one thing about the season is every game counts. What I'd like to do is, and really the message to the team is, you know, all you can control is your attitude and your effort. I use that term all the time. And it's one game at a time. Public opinion doesn't win football games. So let's just make sure that we become the best player and the best team that we can possibly be. And then when we line up, we get to reveal that. You know, championship teams are, you know, they're built in empty stadiums and they're revealed in packed houses. And mm-hmm. So it's the work that we do out here in August so that when we line up against Downey in week one, we'll get a benchmark of where we're at. And then from that point, just keep climbing.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, we will have more with Coach Fisher, and then we'll hear with four of his senior captains in this 2017 season. Stay with us. More Santa Margarita football when we come back. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We're athletics meets faith, and where we left off, we were talking with head coach Rich Fisher of the Santa Margarita Eagles, and we talked further about this upcoming 2017 football season in the Trinity League.
Do you see that transfer of information and that transfer of leadership going from those older kids to the younger kids?
Well, that's what you want. You know, they're out there for a reason, to influence, you know, and if you were to define leadership for me, it's influence, and leadership can be bad influence or good influence, and the good influence is that we got four guys leading this program that do it the way that we envision our program to be. They're accountable. They're hardworking kids. They're tremendous in terms of preparation. They have a lot of confidence as players, and rightfully so. And so I think that you know, if we were running the Iditarod, those are the guys we want out leading the pack. And so hopefully their influence, and we've got other guys in our program that could easily have been captains. It's just those guys were voted on, and I couldn't have picked four better guys to lead and be the face of what we want and what we want to emulate in our program. So we're excited, and like I told them, they'll remember this for the rest of your life, and it's an opportunity for them to really lead a group of men and hopefully impart their wisdom and their work ethic and all those things that you want.
You know, it's obviously, I talked about it, it's too early to talk about the, you know, the Trinity League. You know, those games are down the road, and you'll focus on those when you get there. But what did you take with you out of the first year going through that schedule? What can you apply towards this year that you got out of it a year ago?
Well, number one, it's everything it's cracked up to be. You know, it's probably the best high school football league in America when you, from top to bottom, when you think about the talent level and the coaching, and it's you know, I've recruited a lot of schools, and typically you'll have one or two in a league, but you know, across the board, I would tell you that, you know, well, I mean, every one of those schools made the playoffs last year, you know, and at any point in time can beat anybody on their schedule. So, like I said, our focus has got to be that you know, we take it one game at a time and hopefully stay healthy. We battled a lot of injuries last year, so we've kind of researched and tried to address that and what caused that. And some of them you can't control. It's a game of football. There's a 100% casualty rate at some point in time. And so hopefully, you know, we can stay healthy and make some noise.
How happy are you with the off-season workouts so far and what you see from yourself and from your teammates?
Really happy about the off-season workout. We've really been pushing each other. Bonding's more as a team this year than we did last year. And really putting an extra, going further than we have to.
What are the things you're focusing on as a defensive unit, you know, going into this next season?
Focus on just basically technique, a lot of technique and discipline and detail. We're really trying to come together as a unit because we lost a lot of players last year, but make sure we're pushing each one. And the guy behind us is stepping up, trying to meet the mark just like the guy's starting.
Is important to you to be a leader? Have the coaches asked you to be a leader, or is that just something maybe you've taken upon yourself?
I think the team kind of chose me as a leader, and I respect my team for doing that. And I really try to put in work this season and last season. I was a leader last season, but really going to try to push my team this year even more than I did last year.
Why is it important to have these workouts with your team? You know, other than getting in shape and all that. You know, what kind of camaraderie can be built by being out here with your brothers? You know, under this hot sun for hours upon hours.
Just the bonding technique, like especially the defensive unit. We all have to be a family out there, always protecting each other, always pushing each other. Because defense, one person makes a mistake, the whole team goes down. So we have to be sound and everything, and just basically bonding. Make sure you know the guy next to you has your back.
What have the coaches stressed upon you guys as far as, obviously you know how tough it is. This is the Trinity League, and your schedule, is crazy hard like always. But, what have the coaching staff told you guys, about being ready and being prepared?
I think the biggest thing for us right now is preparation. Just getting prepared, over-prep, putting in that extra work so that we're confident when it comes game time.
Are you happy with what's gone on so far in this offseason as far as workouts and everything the team's been able to accomplish?
Yes, sir. This offseason, I feel like a lot of people are stepping up. Younger guys that didn't get much playing time last year, they're working a lot harder than a lot of people expected them to, and they're showing us something.
Is that something you take upon yourself as a senior, is to kind of show those young guys, quote-unquote, the Eagle way and how to be an Eagle?
Well, yeah. We've all been in the program that are seniors for at least 2 years now with Coach Fisher. This is going to be our second year, and we really know the way that he runs things and the expectation he has. So we basically try to lead by example for the younger kids.
Has this been a different year, year two, camp number two under Coach Fisher? Has this been different, or is the message the same? Is it consistent?
There's definitely been a little more put on us because we've kind of been in the program for a year, so we know what's going on. So I think he has a higher expectation for us since it's not new to us this year.
Are you seeing things kind of click, within certain players, certain guys kind of finding their way and it's starting to all kind of click in?
Yeah, it's really cool to see the young guys step up, some of the freshmen from last year that are going to be sophomores, and then some of the sophomores that played JV last year, they're really like showing us how hard they can work in the offseason and how much better they can get in 1 year.
I see you guys out here at the end, running your gassers, and, it's a brotherhood, right? I mean, it's fighting for that every last guy, no matter the fastest guy or the slowest guy, everybody's cheering each other on.
Oh, yeah. When we run gassers, it's all about the team. It's not if the first person finishes, it's always about everybody finishing. So it's nice when everybody comes together and cheers each other on, so we know we have our backs.
What do you guys talk about as an offensive unit? What are your goals for this year?
We just we have a lot of new people, like I said. We only have one returning offensive lineman, and we just really need everyone to step up, and we just need everyone to like know their role and know exactly what to do. So we just need to prepare a lot for the games and know exactly what we're doing.
Is there a confidence that you guys are going to find that everybody's going to find their role and it's all going to be ready to go when the first kickoff happens?
Yeah, I think the confidence is going to come from preparation. So if we all know exactly what we're doing and we study film and just know exactly what we're going to do when we get in front of somebody, we'll have the confidence to go out there and do well.
Excited about this for your senior season?
Oh, I'm very excited. It's my last year with these guys. I'm going to go all out.
As you look around, what's going on here, under the hot sun and everything, do you see progress being made, among you and your teammates?
Yeah, compared to last year, we're light years ahead of where we were at this point. Sun's never going to affect. Like, we just got to persevere through. It's going to happen with everybody. We just got to keep going. I love what's happening and what we're building.
Year two, under Coach Fisher, are the things that he's trying to stress to you guys, are those really starting to hit home with everybody?
Yeah, he's very disciplined in what he does, and he's very caring to us, and it allows us to push through and follow his leadership, and allows us to be leaders and carry the younger guys who's new to this program.
Obviously, you guys, have seen, a few other teams, rise to the top of this Trinity League. You guys are itching, I'm sure, to get back up at the top as well. Is that some of the talk? Is there a hunger for you guys to make a mark with the Eagles again?
It doesn't matter who we play. We're going to go 100% on everything. You can put Trinity League. It doesn't have to be Trinity League. We can go full speed, whoever we play.
When you look at, your teammates around you, is there confidence, that you look at the guy next to you, he's going to do his job and he knows you're going to do your job?
Yeah, this is a lot of trust factor. Coming into this, I'm going to trust the guy on my left and my right. We're all prepared, which that leads to our confidence, and going in with confidence is going to help you perform.
Yeah, it's tough being under the summer sun. As we talked about, running gassers, these are the type of things. You're a senior. These kind of things pay off once the season comes around. Is that the kind of thing you're trying to, impart upon the younger guys?
Just the gassers ahead of that, that's just going to help in the fourth quarter. We just push on everything we do and finish on everything we do, whether it's gassers, simple drills, like whatever it is, we got to go full speed.
Is it important to you to be a leader, for your other teammates right here, especially since it's a young team?
Yeah, it's huge. If they see, they're always going to follow by leadership. If they see me doing the right thing, they're going to want to push and do the right thing and follow how I do. So that's huge.
Seems like a lot of guys are playing, you know, both ways. You know, this year that, you know, that may be a necessity out of being this as a young team. Are you excited about the chance to contribute on both sides?
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of young guys have been having to learn both ways in the spring, and will certainly continue doing so through the summer. I think it's really exciting to see everyone and what they have to contribute on both sides of the ball.
What specifically, you know, do you come into the summer, you know, wanting to work on, you know, as you get ready for the season?
I just wanted to work on getting effort and attitude down, and helping everyone stay on the same page detail-wise, and getting everything ready for season.
You know, is the message the same day in and day out? I mean, is that part of what helps, you know, that you guys are going to get that same message from the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think they always want us to get 1% better each day, just making contributions to prepare ourselves for the season and attack it with great attitude and effort.
Yeah, I kind of overheard a little bit of what Coach was telling you at the end of the practice there. And, you know, part of the message is that, right, keep pushing hard, you know, every single day, and that's all we ask of you. I mean, do you see that? Do you look around and go, yeah, I know everybody's giving their best day in, day out?
I think we've really done a great job through these off-season workouts and into what summer ball was, and trying to get everyone to give that attitude and have that effort and really push towards season, trying to get better.
Yeah, we know in football, games are won and lost in the trenches. You know, obviously you guys take pride in wanting to be that first line of defense or that first line on offense to get the ball in the end zone.
We got some great coaching staff from all around, particularly my position coach and the O-line coach. I know they do a great job. I think they're really getting us well prepared to play our hearts out.
Obviously, you're looking around at your teammates all the season. You know, you're hungry to finally get a look at an opponent across the line from you.
Yeah, everyone's here really excited to get out and finally strap it up with pads and helmet and get out there and play against Downey and Marina.
I want to thank all my guests this week, Kalena Mosqueda-Lewis, Rich Fisher, and the four senior captains of the Santa Margarita High football team. Thank you for joining us as well. And if you want to catch a replay of this show or any of the others we've done over these past several months here on Catholic Sports, you just simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio, and all the podcasts are lined up right there for you. And give us a little bit of feedback as well. Our email address is CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show. My name is Bob Gibson. Thanks once again for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.
Win a trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com.